Welcome back to State of the News. I'm Rick Howlett. Well, the Kentucky General Assembly continues in Frankfort, going full steam in the 60-day session. And joining us to talk about it is Kentucky Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, Kenny Colston. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how are you doing, Rick?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Pretty good.
Well, we've been talking about redistricting. We reported that the governor just a while back announced that he has signed the redistricting bill into law, but obviously not everyone is happy with every element of it.
No, they're not. Obviously, House Republicans are very unhappy with the bill because up to 10 of their own members are going to be put in races against each other, or in one's case against the majority floor leader in that chamber. In the Senate Democrats are not happy. They're the minority party in that chamber. A bunch of their own members are put into races against each other, or once again in that chamber, one of their members is put against the majority floor leader in the Senate. So not everyone's happy, and a lot of people in Lexington are really upset because their state senator, Kathy Stein, is being moved. Her district is being moved to northeastern Kentucky, and basically she's going to have to sit out for 2 years, and she's being eliminated from the Senate.
Or she would have to move, I guess, right?
Well, she's kind of ruled out moving, so yeah. She might challenge it in court. She has a few other options, she said. She might run for her House seat again in Lexington, but when it comes to the Senate, she's pretty much out of luck.
And so the governor has signed this, and it takes effect immediately, I guess.
Yes, it does. Those new judicial lines, the new House, the new Senate lines, all of them are in effect. The filing deadline is January 31st at 4 p.m. Eastern time. You have to file here at the Secretary of State's office in Frankfort. So those are pretty much set. What's not set is the congressional district redistricting lines.
I see. Where do we stand on that? Is that in a conference committee?
It is in conference committee, but it doesn't seem like it's progressing quickly at all. They were supposed to meet today for conference committee day two. We got word that they decided not to meet today. House Speaker Greg Stumbo says that they are very far apart on a compromise. Both sides are pointing fingers at each other. Speaker Stumbo says that, you know, in order to compromise, both sides have to come to the middle, and pretty much no one gets what they want. And the Senate has responded. Senator Stivers has said that if the House wants a compromise, they're going to have to be reasonable. So they're pointing fingers. They're not really close. They're supposed to meet again on Monday. Maybe they can hammer out a deal by then, but that seems unlikely.
Conference committee, of course, for those who don't know, is House and Senate lawmakers get together and try to iron out the differences in their respective bills. Well, the Governor Beshear delivered his budget address this week. As expected, he's calling for some deep cuts. How is that being received in the two chambers?
Well, you know, House Speaker Greg Stumbo said that he doesn't believe the Governor Beshear's budget will be changed much at all. It's a very tough budget, cuts of 8.4% to most state agencies. Higher education has a 6.4% cut. Even state police are cut 2.2%. And the speaker says that based on those numbers, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, giving a 1% increase in K-12 education, let's say, means millions of dollars that the state doesn't have. The Senate is a little bit more cautious. Both Senate President David Williams and their budget chairman, Senator Leeper, have said that they're going to wait and see what the budget bill actually says and what the House does before they really come out and say what they want to do with it. But Stumbo has already gone on the record multiple times and saying he doesn't see how either chamber can change the budget that much.
How was the gambling amendment proceeding that the governor is proposing?
You know, it's kind of stalled, to be honest with you. Earlier this week, the Family Foundation said that the governor was short 3 votes in the Senate, which is where the governor is trying to push the amendment through first. And on Tuesday, when we spoke to the governor about his budget, that was brought up, and someone asked him, you know, are you counting votes? And he said, we count every day. And they said, is the Family Foundation correct? You know, are you short votes? And the governor basically said, we hope to, you know, introduce an amendment in the next couple of weeks. Didn't give a real firm answer that the Family Foundation was lying about not having the votes for the gambling amendment. So it's stalled. I believe the governor is still working behind the scenes, trying to get that amendment, trying to get the votes for that amendment. And hopefully, I believe he will introduce it in the next few weeks, and he hopes he has the votes. But it seems to be very, very fluid.
And he mentioned in his address that obviously this wouldn't be a panacea, but it would give us some much-needed revenue.
Yeah, that's what he said in his budget address, that and tax reform. You know, there's been a lot of studies that have been published that say, you know, the revenue could be in the billions, that say a lot of people want to vote on this issue. All interested parties have been working it back and forth, and that's how you know that something is churning in the works behind the scenes. It's just a matter of how many votes there are. I mean, normally you wouldn't come out and say this proposal is this many votes short or that many votes short. That's kind of revealing a hand that allows the governor and supporters of expanded gambling to kind of come on and say and target specific people. But it's definitely a fight behind the scenes, and once redistricting is finished and we get through the budget, I think you'll see a lot of gambling talked about here in the chambers.
The new agriculture commissioner, James Comer, has come out in favor of legalizing industrial hemp in Kentucky. What kind of legislative support might he have for that?
He has a little legislative support for that. I mean, he's got bipartisan support. He has two Democrats that are the majority in the House that are following the bill and trying to push it. He has a Democratic senator in the Senate, although that's the minority party, Senator Pendleton, who's been a big advocate of this. Obviously, James Comer has a lot of pull with Republicans, being the only Republican to win statewide this past year. So I think he'll try to push the bill. You know, the saying goes that it usually takes three or four chances in Frankfurt for a bill to finally, you know, really get heard and passed. So I don't know that this session will be the one, but the commissioner has obviously put it out there. He's trying to kind of reverse some of these myths about industrial hemp, that it's, you know, it's close to marijuana, and it's really not, is what they're saying. And yeah, he's kind of saying this could help a hurting agriculture industry in Kentucky that's hurt by the reduction of tobacco and how big of a cash crop that is. So he's pushing that bill. We'll have to see how far it really goes.
And Kentucky was once a leader in industrial hemp production.
Yes, it was. A long time ago it was, and it was funny in the press conference yesterday. There were quotes from Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, very historical, about Henry Ford, how he wanted to look into hemp production for car parts, and how Kentucky's auto industry, BMW, is currently working with hemp in making trunk lids and stuff like that, and that with three automakers here in Kentucky, obviously Ford, GM, and Toyota, that, you know, hemp production here, industrial hemp production here, could really help those auto industries, could help in textile industry as well, and that's the push behind it.
Commissioner Comer's predecessor, Richie Farmer, has been in the news lately. There's reports that he did not return some his state-issued equipment from his tenure as agriculture commissioner. Now it's been reported that he has given some of that stuff back.
Yes, he has given, I think, two of the four laptops that are missing, a few other small items, but he hasn't given it all back yet. Those were immediately turned over to Auditor Adam Elin, who is auditing the Agriculture Department at Comer's request. So I don't know that we'll hear a lot about it. Usually auditors like to keep their cards close to the vest. But, you know, a few things have been returned. I'm sure if they find the rest of them, they will be returned and kept in storage at the auditor's office. That'll be something we'll have to continue to track as Auditor Edelin continues to audit that department.
There's also a push on, again, this session for a statewide smoking ban.
Yes, Susan Westrom, a Lexington representative, and the Kentucky Chamber and a bunch of medical and health officials had a press conference where, you know, the American Lung Association released its state report card, and Kentucky once again got an F in all categories when it comes to tobacco control. And a lot of urban and metro cities and counties have smoking bans, but the idea is that you would have a statewide smoking ban, and that that way restaurants, like you see here in Louisville, like you've seen in Lexington, that would do restaurants and public areas. And the idea is that, you know, some of these communities in the restaurants really want to go smoke-free, but there's public pressure not to do it, is what Westrom said. And so having a statewide ban kind of relieves pressure on businesses to make that decision to offend people. She said the odds of it passing this session are about 50-50. It's been proposed the session beforehand, so once again, going back to the third time's a charm, I think this is the second time she's pushed it, so it might get a little bit further, but it does have the support of the business community.
You're listening to State of the News on WFPL, and we're talking with Kenny Colston, the Kentucky Public Radio Capitol Bureau Chief. Also a bill, Kenny, making its way through the legislature again, and this has had the support of First Lady Jane Beshear, is a bill that would raise the dropout age in Kentucky.
Yeah, that bill is once again Representative Greer in the House. That made it through committee this week. It is yet to be passed off the House floor, but there's probably little doubt that it will. The main hurdle is in the state Senate, and it appears that there might be some opportunity for this bill to pass through the state Senate if it's amended. Now, what that amendment may be, will it be attaching technical and career education to that bill? You know, Senator Westwood has a bill that just has career and technical education to it. I think the Senate Committee, Education Committee, will talk about whether they just want to push the career and technical education bill separate, whether they want to merge it with a dropout bill. Senator Higdon in the Senate is sponsoring a similar bill to the House version that is a dropout bill. And so I think this is finally going to make the steps to make it in the law after being pushed by the governor and the first lady for quite a few years.
A couple of other things before we let you go, Kenny. There's an effort to make the University of Pikeville, is it known now?
Yes.
That would make it a part of the state university system?
Yes, that is correct. That bill has been filed this week. It didn't really contain anything that we didn't know before. The interesting part is in his budget, Governor Beshear has left an unspecified amount of co-severance funds, which is what Speaker Stumbo wants to use to pay the University of Pikeville to make them a public university. And he said in his address that he's leaving open the ability for them to use some of that coal severance money, uncommitted money, and use it to bring the University of Pikeville into the state system. I find that interesting. It's not a full endorsement from the governor about the University of Pikeville, but it's certainly an olive branch, certainly meeting halfway to leave that money uncommitted, and not only that, but to specifically point it out and say, hey, you know, you all are thinking about this, and here's this amount of money that you all have been talking about $13 million. I'm going to leave it uncommitted, and if you all want to bring the University of Pikeville along to the state system, it's up to you guys.
All right, and finally, lawmakers have been urging Kentuckians and those interested to donate to a state breast cancer research fund.
Yes, that's correct. If on your income tax returns, it's box 36. If you check that box, you can donate any amount of money you want to a breast cancer research fund. And a lot of state lawmakers were basically encouraging people to do that this year. One state lawmaker said that if half of Kentucky's taxpayers donated $10 a year, that would be over $9 million donated to the fund annually to help research and eventually eliminate breast cancer in Kentucky. So that was another issue that, you know, a lot of lawmakers were pushing that isn't really, you know, a tough, you know, battle over this bill or that bill.
All right, Kenny Colston, Kentucky Public Radio Frankfort Bureau Chief, thanks as always for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.